So the thing that convinced me absolutely that Cuomo is the next mayor of New York City, and I have to admit that it's just, I hadn't like, well, I knew what I thought. I knew Cuomo was the right guy to be the next mayor. But I wasn't sure that I wanted to bring on the controversy. And this is the old bullshit about the Democratic Party, is that it tolerates no dissent. And they use all the tools of online, it's beyond harassment, it's cancel culture. It's right there. It really is there. I don't know, you know, the thing is, the Democrats create the position for the Republicans. The Republicans are just the undemocrats. So when they talk about woke, you know, I mean, I dismissed it like a lot of people do. Well, you know, what's the option? You know, you want to be asleep or would you like to be awake? Obviously, I would prefer to be awake, right? But that's coy and that's actually stupid because it actually works and I agree with it. And I agreed with it all along. It's just they were clever in the way they made it a divisive thing. And the Democrats do need to be called out on this, and the Democrats do need to fix this problem, and it's an attitude problem. It means coming to the defense of people who are under attack for having a different opinion, like, for example, thinking that Cuomo should be the next mayor of New York City. Because it's that force, it's that self-destructive force that drove him out of the governor's office in the first place. Now you're going to think, well, you know, what am I going to do? Defend some guy who sexually harasses women that work for him? I'm not going to endorse that. I never did anything like that when I had an office full of people working for me. Nicely gender balanced. I mean, you know, we were a very liberal company that I ran, and I was steadfast. I just absolutely, you know, I didn't like it when I saw sex come into the office. And it does when you have people that work in, I mean, you know, it's just it's always there, right? But I didn't like it because I had everything on the line in this company. I was going to be pretty broke, destitute even. You know, if the thing failed, I couldn't visualize failure. It was just, so it's like, never mind the fact that you're using power over people to get something that really should be an expression of love or kindness or excitement, you know, passion even. And, you know, you're turning it into something ugly and non-voluntary. Who wants that? Anyway. I'm saying all this to show you that I'm not defending sexual harassment. Nothing remotely like that. But I read two things recently that really made an impression on me. The first one is that don't think of a vote as a love letter. Think of it as a chess move. And that is what I've been trying to say, and I never found a better way to say that. I don't know who to attribute it to. We'll look it up, though. I mean, it's a beautiful way to look at this thing, is that I don't feel I even need to explain it. It's so obvious. Right. And the other thing was, and again, I don't remember the person. It was somebody who had run against, had been in the race for mayor of New York City and was attacking Cuomo for the things that drove him from office as a campaign issue, I guess. I wasn't paying any attention really at all. I don't live in New York City. I haven't lived in New York City for 5 years now. So I don't get a vote on this. But, so I don't remember all that she said, but it was a list of things that define the context of, do you want a mayor who's going to make the naive first-time mayor mistakes that they all make? I mean, the alternative, the other front runner, is somebody with no experience administering anything, wanting the job of the most complex thing in politics to manage. New York fucking city. It's really a mess, okay? And nothing's going to fix it. Nobody is going to fix it. You have to run it. You have to manage it. You have to, and it just requires, I think in practical terms, we've seen it fail so many times. It goes back to when I was a kid, John Lindsay, you know. If anybody had the ability, they don't care about charm. Okay, let me skip all the steps. He was beautiful. He was more beautiful than JFK. And that's saying a lot, right? And go find a picture of him. Watch a video of this guy. He's Robert Redford in The Mayor. And so he comes in like these guys always do, thinking I'm transformational, because his whole life he's been transformational. I mean, he look at him, okay? He comes into this job, and on the very first day, and they swear in the mayor of New York is sworn in on January 1st, on New Year's Day. And the very first thing, two things happen. There's a garbage strike, and there's this major fucking snowstorm hits the city. And you know who plows the streets? It's the sanitation department. So you've got garbage piling up and the roads aren't plowed. And here's this poor schnook, John V. Lindsay, who thinks, oh, I'm God's gift. Everybody's going to do what I say. And he finds out they all think that's really funny. You know, watch, there's that Martin Scorsese movie with Daniel Day-Lewis and Leonardo DiCaprio and, I'll think of her name. It's like, it's an okay movie, but it's a good movie because it's like, you know, Scorsese, but it's not one of his great movies, okay? But it gives you a rough idea of where New York City came from. And there was a point in time when it was like, this is major progress that the police department worked for the government, because it didn't used to. Or the government was, you know, they talk about oligarchies running the government, right? As if this is something new. It is not new in New York. It still is run like that. It's just got a veneer on it. And so the New York Times had this campaign, and I'm going to add something to this, an idea that is along the lines of the other ideas that I mentioned, is that, you know, there is a point in time when journalists have to stop, and I can tell you what that point in time is. When you've already informed everybody who reads your newspaper or who watches your TV show or listens to your podcast, once you've already informed every one of them of the news, of what happened, okay, then you have to stop because you've fulfilled your journalistic opportunity, your responsibility. You have practiced journalism. I give you credit for that. Problem is they don't stop there. They keep going, and then they start using the power that they have, which they do have, to be political. They can be oligarchs, basically. They can drive the events. And when they start doing that, they can't claim to be journalists anymore because they're not acting like journalists. So the Hillary's emails bullshit. Not only, they gave us all the information they were going to give us in probably the first article, because they weren't going to give us any information about what the fuck the issue was. I happen to understand how mail servers work. Okay? I never once saw a concise statement of exactly what the issue is, but it just wouldn't go away. They, you know, so at that point they're campaigning, and they've sloshed out of their lane into the lane of an elected official, of somebody who we get a chance to vote out of office if we don't like what they do. And that was what happened with Cuomo. Cuomo was accused. He wasn't tried. He wasn't impeached. He wasn't tried. And he wasn't convicted by the state government. Okay, that never happened. The other thing that, and you might even say that they shouldn't, in a case that he was never tried in a criminal court, he wasn't convicted of anything, didn't go to jail, You know? He wasn't sued in civil court. I don't think anybody sued him either. It was a campaign that must not have had a whole lot of substance to it, but it was dirty. And that also, by the way, is a tradition of New York politics. It's these sling mud. He's done it, okay? Cuomo, okay, that Cuomo, Andrew Cuomo, was a campaign manager for his father, Mario Cuomo, who is a former governor of the state of New York. Much revered national politician, I have to add. He was considered, go look him up. He was. I mean, he's a class act, everybody thought. But came out when Andrew was running, maybe it came out before, it was the first I heard about it, was that he was attacking his opponent, Ed Koch, for being gay. And we don't know for a fact. Gay, if he was gay, he wasn't out. And that is, as bad as it gets, really is. It's like Republicans don't even do that. It's not only is it immoral and irrelevant, you know, it's also not good politics. There's a lot of people that will vote against you for doing that. But it wasn't like that back then, maybe. I don't know. He had these pamphlets, leaflets that they were handing out and things that they were sticking up on the subway walls and anonymously. It says, vote for Cuomo, not the homo. And every time I hear Cuomo's name, pew, it's really not smart to do that with your own name because it follows you wherever you go. Once you hear it, you can't ignore it. It's there. No. So the other thing was that I didn't even mention is that the his opponent said that the one of the things she said was the rule of law is hanging by a thread. That was the term. And I go, you're right. That is so right. That's such a good way to put it. So in a time like that, and your vote is not a love letter. I'm not saying I love Andrew Cuomo by voting for him. I can't vote for him, but I'm urging that people vote for him. But it's not a love letter. It's a chess move. And here we're dealing with the problem here. We've got a corrupt mayor right now who's been blackmailed by Trump and is now basically a functionary. He's given in. The city of New York, you know how he's trying to get Gavin Newsom out, right? You know, remember what the Homeland Security, I can't remember, Kristi Noem, I think is her name, but she said is they're liberating them. Californians, they're not doing it in New York. They don't have to. They've already done it. So you need somebody that's going to come in there after all this has happened and is going to, the elbows will be out. Let's put it that way. He's not going to be scared. And that is so totally what's needed right now. So it's time for the Democrats to put aside some of this holier-than-thou wokeness, this control, the cancellation, the stakes being so incredibly high for criticizing the people that are running this thing. No, we have to run against them. That's the thing. I wrote about this the other day, is that you'll know you're looking at a leader of the Democratic Party when they start running against the Democratic Party, when they start telling you how fucked up the Democratic Party is, and be very clear about it. It's time not to sweep the bullshit under the carpet. It's time to stop doing that. It's time to start agreeing with the Republicans on the things that they're right about when they talk about the Democratic Party. You want to get men back? That's a really good way to start, because a lot of the bullshit coming out of the Democrats has been aimed at men. You need to disclaim that and get that out of the, you know, let's have that argument, okay? Let's have it out in the open. Let's have them covering it. It's got to be dug out and just out by the roots. It's got to stop being fashionable to destroy people for disagreeing with you. And it's got to be, and that's why another reason I wrote is that, look, if you're not pissing off the journalists, if they're not complaining wildly about what you're doing, then you're not doing it right. Because they're going to be screaming a lot now. Because we've got to stop letting them control. Got to take them. To be very clear, when they're running a campaign, the politicians have to say that's not their job. They've already informed the public. It's time for them to step back and let the process work. You know, Al Franken was begging for that. He said, well, let's just go to the Senate Ethics Committee and let's have hearings and then let's have a vote. And if you censure me, I'm out. But at least go through the frickin' process. How un-American it is to say, no, you can't have a process. You just have to resign. And he resigned, and it, like, look what it did to him. And it's not fair. It's not American. And it's even worse. It's fucking stupid. Can you imagine if we had had a comedian in the fucking Democratic Party when Trump was running? That was exactly what was needed. People are too stupid to understand that you don't compete with a guy like that with policies. That thing that Michelle Obama said was so stupid, it was ridiculous. They go low, we go high. Bullshit. You get a fucking comedian out there and you go as low as you want. It makes for good comedy. That's why they like Trump. Don't you get it? They're so full of shit. They're so full of themselves. They're so sure they're transformative, every fucking one of them. And they're not. They're politicians. They need to start behaving like it and stop being so embarrassed of being a freaking politician. And instead of destroying people that disagree with you, figure out if there's a way you can work with them. That is the way the government is supposed to work, you know. That's the way it was designed. It isn't, we destroy you if we don't like you. It's, well, okay, we don't like you, all right, that's okay, fuck that shit. As if it matters whether I like you, come on, get a life. What matters is can we work together? And that is what we've got to be working on. Working together. Just like, that's it. When you find yourself not being willing to work with someone else, fix the mistake. It's your mistake. You know, they say, be the change you seek. It's the only change you can create, my friend. So you might as well stick with it. You can change. You can't change someone else. But you can change. And that's what's needed here. A lot of people figuring that part out. All right, I'm going to go now. Thanks for listening. Bye.